This community radio association and adheres to their statement of principles to provide an alternative voice. CKUW operates on a frequency of 95.9 megahertz on the FM band with 450 watts effective radiated power, or ERP. Our transmitter is located at 7 Evergreen Place in Osborne Village. Programming originates from our downtown studios at the University of Winnipeg in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. We would like to hear from you and welcome your ideas to improve listening, which will be heard on CKUW in years to come. Address your comments and suggestions to CKUW 95.9 FM, Room 4CM11, 515 Portage Avenue, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3B2E9. You can call 204-786-9782 or email us at ckuw@uwinnipeg.ca. This is Victoria King speaking for the Board of Directors, staff, and volunteers of CKUW 95.9 FM. Thank you for listening and stay tuned for more great community radio.
I was listening to the voices of life, chanting in unison. Carry on the struggle. The generations surge together.
Leap over things that have not made you blink twice. Survival instincts mistaken for trivial things. Trauma deduced to being over dramatic. She tosses and turns at night, while you can easily turn the page over in the history book that she is too tired to explain, but too awake to ignore. A night owl against her own will. Your black friend took the bus this morning, and strangers kept taking handfuls of her hair, combed through her curls, and twisted her chin like something they might buy at the store, like petting a stray dog because they think it's cute and interesting, petting out of pity and wonder. She froze in a cold sweat. She told me to tell you this since you asked why she straightened her hair the next day. Your black friend will never cry in front of you, trying her hardest not to be anyone else's problem. Or maybe she just isn't a crier, as if she isn't already a distraction. She trained her tears to jump through hoops, roll down her face, and land only on the pillows in her room when no one is watching. The behind the scenes of the black girl magic tricks. February is an awkward month for your black friend. When the topic of discussion turns to slavery, she avoids eye contact with anyone, looks longingly into the comfort that the blank brick wall brings to cool off from the heat wave of stares that she knows is behind her, her inner peace being charred like a Sunday cookout, only to glance at the time she wishes she could run. Your black friend is everyone's friend until they are not. If she is the light in everyone's life, the strong candle that keeps burning, what happens when the candle burns out? Will you tell her to rest, or will you tell her to burn a part of herself again to keep the room bright, to help you see? Will you tell her that it's okay to be soft like her pillows? Will you tell her in time before the wax melts and the candle is too short to save, or will you say that she has lost her spark? As if she isn't already the anomaly if she succeeds and the expectation if she fails. Excellence naturally radiates from her, but sometimes she feels like it has to be there. Tattooed on both arms, she wishes she could fail in front of you without everyone portraying her greatness as accidental. The star student, the star athlete, being the star until she is just darkness. Sometimes stars burn out, sometimes stars turn to dust and fall out of the sky, and everyone finds amusement in the fireworks, the pyrotechnics of her exhaustion. If your black friend feels like her black girl magic is starting to fade, will you look at her the same way? Will you mistake her majesty for witchcraft? Will you be friends with her, her glass ceiling, and her systemic hurdles? They come as a set of three. Collect them all. Black magic is tricky like that. Your black friend outgrew playing teacher when she was seven. Why are you forcing her to do this again? Why are you looking to her for all of the answers? Why are you using her light as a lesson plan? She is the excuse for all of your mistakes because, well, you have a black friend, soul. Because she fills your friendship quota, because she is the encyclopedia, because she is your sidekick trope, because she is the photo op, always the opportunity and never the ordinary encounter, always the template but never the trademark, always the bodega but never the Beverly Hills, because she is the little convenience store at the end of the street that people have stolen from multiple times. Your black friend told me to tell you all of this. Maybe they think you wouldn't listen, that you wouldn't get it. Or maybe they're already too tired just thinking about it.
The children laugh, the old ones laugh. The newborn cry, the elders weep. The knowledge of infants and elders, separated only by years. Adulthood lost to growing up fear, the only security being insecurity, changing crying to weeping. The wisdom of infants and elders, crying and laughing, weeping and laughing. Songs in the beginning, sung in the end. Endure, the people cry out. Tears of anger, tears of sorrow, flowing, giving birth to resistance. Young ones to remember. Struggle, for the people cry out. Tears of happiness, tears of joy. Washing the pain, cleaning the spirit, giving strength. The generations remembering the past to rebuild the future. For weeping is another way of laughing and resisting. And outlasting the enemy.
Avenue and on the 4.5 floor Centennial Manitoba Hall. Look out, you're coming hard, you're coming bad. This is Ralph Rico with Prince Bono, Prince Chinchilla, Prince Victoria, Dr. T and John, who's here whenever here. Sometimes here is Princess Rachel, but always here this time is Princess Catherine, making sure we on and up and about. Fantastic Friday. Okay, song on flute.
Anywhere we go, it's the same thing. Breaking all It's squeezing us to death,
yeah.
Squeezing us to death,
yeah.
Squeezing us to death with their prices. Their hands around my neck,
yeah.
Strangling me to death,
yeah.
Won't let me catch my breath, I can't breathe. Give me some air. While the prophets soar.
Hey, hi, this is Manuela and you're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, and the radio show name is called Fantastic Friday. Please come and join us every single Friday morning from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. every Friday morning.
This six-story building will soon answer calls for more affordable housing in Winnipeg. Le Cour is a mixed-income apartment block containing 127 rental units, parkade, and retail space wholly owned by Apaskwayak Cree Nation in Manitoba. Their chief, Michael Constant, says there's high demand from off-reserve members for safe housing that doesn't break the bank.
Those demands need to be met on a human basis, because our people are entering into the main society, bringing them off our First Nations and surviving and thriving into these settings, and this is one of the capital ways in meeting their needs.
1, 2, and 3 bedroom apartments will be on offer. About 40 of the 127 units will be dedicated for First Nations renters from any treaty territory. OCN partnered with Freed Home Developments on the project. Their president, Jonathan Freed, says that while most of the apartments will range between $1,500 to more than $2,000 a month in rent, 52 units will be deeply affordable compared to market rates.
In this particular community, the one bedrooms will be about $785 a month. Two bedrooms will be $985 a month, so well below market rental values.
Freed says economic reconciliation is the cherry on top of a wonderful project. He looks forward to more collaborations with First Nations.
We've certainly been approached by other First Nations. I mean, we love doing it. They've got tremendous vision and tremendous trust, and they're excellent collaborators, and we'd love to do more of it for sure.
The $38 million project is supported by a more than $35 million investment by the Government of Canada and tax increment financing from the City of Winnipeg. Le Cour plans to open September 2026. Sav Jones at APTN National News, Winnipeg.
Hey everyone, I'm Jess Turner. Make sure you listen to Fantastic Fridays on CKUW 95.9 FM every Friday morning, 6 a.m. till 8 a.m. That's way too early for me. Okay, thanks. Bye.
Here's a little history to let you know just how pointless racism is. In New York City, in Washington Square Park, they got these two big trees where they used to hang criminals back in the old days. But they would hang white people and black people on different trees. Like that's gonna hurt our feelings, you know.
my God, man. It took me years to be able to do this show, boy. DC has changed. It's different now. There's a lot of white people walking around, isn't it? I mean, I left D.C. in the 80s. It was not like this in the 80s when crack was going on. Remember when crack was going on? White people be looking at D.C. from Virginia with binoculars and shit.
Well, that looks dangerous. Not yet.
New white people. You can't scare these white people. I tried. Roll up on them. Boo!
The hell is wrong with you? Those days are over.
I'm glad that, you know, like we're doing a show here by Howard, you know, and you see like white people come out, and that's good. And one thing I'm seeing, you'll be walking down the street and you'll see like a group of black dudes walking. Not just any old black dude, we talking, you know, thugs. Talking, you know. There'd be some thugs. And in the group, they got like one or two, sometimes as many as three white guys would be with them. You ever seen this shit? Well, let me tell you something about those white guys. Those white guys are the most dangerous motherfuckers in them groups. Well, it's true. It's true, man. There ain't no telling what they've done to get them black dudes respect. Well, them black dudes have seen them do some wild shit, I'll tell you that. I've been trying to tell brothers that. Every group of brothers should have at least one white guy in it. I'm serious, for safety. Because when the shit goes down, somebody's going to need to talk to the police.
I'll get that. Hello, Fred.
Hello, Woody. Goodbye, Woody.
What are you doing that for?
Hey, come on in, Uncle Woody. You too, on that line.
Not until that heathen apologizes for slamming the door in my face.
She's right, Pop. Apologize.
I apologize, Esther, for slamming the door in your face.
Well, that's better.
How you doing, Woody? How you been?
Fred, now, I wish you wouldn't do that.
What did I do?
Fred was just having a little fun, dear. Come on in. Did hey, he hit your nose?
Try and be a little nice to Aunt Esther. I mean, after all, she is Mom's sister, you know?
Oh, gang. Esther, on behalf of Elizabeth, please sit down and feel at home.
Thank you.
And Esther, on behalf of Elizabeth, would you care for something to eat?
Oh, I wouldn't mind a little snack.
Well, son, go in the kitchen and fix your Aunt Esther a fish head sandwich.
You can insult me all you want to now, Fred Sanford. Because when I'm chosen Mrs. Watts' business wife, your insulting days are going to be over.
I didn't know that you entered in that contest.
I didn't only enter into it, I'm going to win it. Right, Woodrow?
Yeah, right.
Wrong. That's the first place you can enter that contest because you're not eligible. See, one of the things you have to be is a part of a certain race.
What race?
Human. Esther, do like I tell you. Forget about that. Bow out. Keep yourself from being embarrassed.
Why should I be embarrassed? I got everything it takes to win that contest. When I was born, my body was blessed by Mother Nature, honey.
And as you got older, it was cursed by Father Time.
On the face of the planet. Ooh, my carpal tunnel is acting up today. I don't think I can. I can't. It's excruciating pain. I can't. be leaving the fields early. Hey, hey, where you going? Harry Styles tickets, hello. Get your ass back here. I'm gonna need to see your supervisor. Black people, we need a better publicist. No, fuck that. We need a publicist. I want the publicist that the white guys use. That publicist kicks ass. That publicist is the best, because they know how to spin it. Even when white guys fuck up, they can spin it. And where you won't think, oh, all white guys are fucked up. No, because they make them individuals. You know, crazy white guy shoots up a movie theater, they give you his backstory, right? Tell you where he went to school. Oh, he was a loner. They put a picture up in the news of him that's so sympathetic. I'm watching news, I'm like, oh, man, he should have called me.
Hi, I'm Julian Cooper. You're listening to Fantastic Friday on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. This is my favorite morning wake-up show.
This song is the title tune for my latest LP, which is entitled Wake Up Everybody. And I'm sure you will all agree there are things that need to be done in this country today. So what I'd like for you to do is listen very carefully and see what you can do to lend a hand. Wake up everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more backward thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Teachers, time to teach a new way. They're the ones who are coming up, what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. Make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. And they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand.
Hi, I'm Dale Rufus, and you're listening to Fantastic Fridays on CKUW 95.9, my favorite Friday morning wake-up show.
This is for my city dwellers, my storytellers, my soundscapers, music makers, and my dreamers of dreams. This is for the beat layers, the street sayers, the graph writers, and the painters. This is for the crate keepers, the image freezers, the lens seekers, and the photogs. This is for the spinners, the rewinders, drop the needle, pull it back, and come againers. This is for the movers, the body users, the kinetic acrobatic defying gravity provers. This is for the filmmakers, the actors, the activators, my sculptors, and my cans. Sprayers. This is for the da-da-dubbers, the dancers, the scribers, the scholars. This is for the freestylers, my improvisers, my poetical, lyrical, spiritual vocalizers. This is for my speechifiers, for the visionaries, for the bridge builders, the chain breakers, the power takers. This is for the door crashers, my drum beaters, the call to action taker to the streeters. For my behind the sceners, my planners, my finders, our on task and right on timers. For our organizers, our survivors, our motivators, and our strivers. This is for the uplifters and uprisers. This is for you, our ancestors. This is for you, our people blessers, our children, for our vision, for our villages, our hoods, our nations, our truths. This is for our culture, for our generation. This is for our creator and our creation. This is for our inner being and our outer, for our say it louder, big and prouder. This is for the art, for the word. This is for the sound. This is for the power.
Children laugh, the old ones laugh. The newborn cry, the elders weep. The knowledge of infants and elders, separated only by years. Adulthood lost to growing up fear, the only security being insecurity, changing crying to weeping. The wisdom of infants and elders, crying and laughing, weeping and laughing. Songs in the beginning. sung in the end. Endure, the people cry out. Tears of anger, tears of sorrow, flowing, giving birth to resistance. Young ones to remember. Struggle, for the people cry out. Tears of happiness, tears of joy, washing the pain, cleaning the spirit, giving strength. The generations remembering the past to rebuild the future.
My name is Winnie Corn Miller, and I am Mohawk from Ganawage. I was on the Canadian women's water polo team for 9 years, and I co-captained the Canadian women's water polo team in 2000 in Sydney. I do a lot of touring all over North America, speaking to Native and non-Native audiences about everything, just about motivation, about my experiences, about who I am as a Mohawk, but also how to overcome and adversity and obstacles and even trauma. I was 14 years old during the Oka crisis in 1990, and I was stabbed by a Canadian soldier. I always encourage and really inspire, try to get kids to understand in each one of them they have the potential to reach the stars. And don't undersell yourself. Like, shoot to be not just the best on your res or best in the province or the best in Canada, be the best in the world. Being very passionate about my culture and loving to wear and to show the best stuff that we have is something that I find is really important to me, and it's I love to show that side of myself. You know, I'm always on the go, and I'm always like, I have a 2.5-year-old and I'm traveling and I'm this and I'm in slush. I mean, you know, I can't be worried about, am I going to ruin it? Am I going to, you know, is it going to hold up to the weather or hold up to the just the basic everyday life, you know, and how harsh you can be on your clothes. And what I like about my Manitoba mukluks is they're very, very well made. Like, I love the, you know, that good, tough leather, and they have a good, vibrant soul. I mean, you know, one of the things that I talk a lot about is I like how Manitoba mukluks didn't just put any soul on. They went to vibrant. They went to the best and made a soul with them. And it shows their dedication to the functionality of a product, and they want everybody.
Anything now shock out, get wash out. Watch out the kingdom out and the queen a come out quatch out there, spread red carpet. One thing we have to tell on us, watch ya. Adam Mercy. Adam Mercy. Watch me now. It name murder me wrote and me no take back me chat. Shuffle the date me and the queen in a the park. Look how me cute and sexy like that. And me plant the can, so no better watch that. Show me step up in a life, them want to give me a fight. Show me look cute and them no look too right. They call on me to over me, man, a fight. And that now one no time in a them life. Me no cut up, I can model every time. Absolute niceness, come with pair rhyme. First class dress code and your style a lick. The quality.
Hi everyone, my name is Belaine Osman. I'm a student here at the UofW. My students actually call me Madame Oz. Just letting you know, CKUW has an awesome show called Fantastic Friday, and you guys should listen to it. Stay tuned.
So don't you where you come from,
as long as you're a black man, you're an African.
Yes, good morning, Vasuko, and good morning to all of our listeners. Zunu Kedu Kekwanu, greetings from Africa. Our first piece comes from Democracy Now, where we speak with Al Jazeera reporter Ibrahim Al Khalili in Gaza, where the shaky ceasefire between Israel and Hamas appears to be holding, despite sporadic violence. Stay tuned.
My brother Mohammed, the oldest brother in my family, was detained on the 18th of March 2024 around the Shifa Medical Complex where my family used to live. So that day, the Israeli military stormed a Shifa hospital at midnight without any prior warning, and loudspeakers started saying, don't move, the area is under extreme siege, don't move, the army is operating in your area, and just basically don't move. I was with my whole family inside my house at that time. So the Israeli military, in the morning, after midnight, they stormed my house, and then they took us all out, forced us into the freezing cold, and we were forcibly stripped of our clothes in the freezing weather after interrogation and torture and harsh circumstances in that harsh weather. I was released, but my brother Muhammad was detained. And since that day, during that time, we did not know anything about his whereabouts. So he was detained by the Israeli military when the Israeli military operation assault on a Shifa medical complex came to an end. We returned back to our homes to find nothing. We have not found my brother Muhammad or the house even standing. So after 19 months in Israeli detention, my brother Muhammad got released, and we met up in Nasser Hospital in Khan Yunis. And this is a very historic moment for us, the Palestinians, and for my family in particular, to have my brother back after 19 months in Israeli jail. As I talked to my brother Muhammad, he's tired now. He was telling me he was under extreme torture and interrogation and harsh circumstances in Israeli prisons. He lost almost 30 kilos. He was almost 100 kilograms, but his weight dropped to 70 kilograms during the 19 months of detention. So this tells the whole story about the torture, interrogation, and the extreme harsh conditions all Palestinians go through in the Israeli prisons. They go well, and they just release with a unhealthy, whether mentally or physically. So we are all lucky now to have my brother Muhammad back home to his four beautiful children and his wife, who have been waiting for him for so long, and the sense of relief and joy, happiness inside the family prevailed after they got their loved ones, Muhammad, back home after 19 months in Israeli detention. So this is a historic moment, not for me in particular. We're talking about 1,700 prisoners were released in that after the ceasefire took effect. And now these families are happy, and they expressed a lot of joy to have their loved ones back to Gaza City after spending years under severe and harsh conditions in Israeli jail.
Next, we speak with Sarit Bashir, an Israeli-American human rights lawyer and former program director at Human Rights Watch.
Even after having released almost 2,000 people last week, the Israeli military is still holding about 9,000 Palestinians in what it calls security prisoners or detainees. Only about 1,000 of them have actually been convicted of any crime. The vast majority of people being held are being held without trial, either in what's called administrative detention for the West Bank or the unlawful combatants law for folks from Gaza. That means that there's no allegation that they've committed a crime. They're being held on a charge of dangerousness that is backed by secret evidence that neither they nor their lawyers can either see or challenge. It is an arbitrary system in which every day, including yesterday, the Israeli military is rounding up more and more Palestinians in the West, from the West Bank now, and just refilling those detention and prison cells where people are subject to serious abuse. For the last 2 years, at the request of Israel's police minister, the conditions that were already bad for Palestinian prisoners have been worsened. Food rations have been reduced. Israel has unlawfully suspended both family visits as well as visits by the International Committee of the Red Cross, which is supposed to ensure humane treatment. And there have been persistent, credible, and systematic reports of rape, starvation, and torture. People are coming out of those prisons badly malnourished, with scabies. Dozens have died in detention. There has been no accountability, no investigations. And that needs to change for the 9,000 people who are still being held. And what happened last week was 250 people who had been convicted of crimes, as well as 1,700 who were being held without charge or trial, were released. Still, even after that release, Israel is still holding about 9,000 prisoners. About 1,200 have actually been convicted of crimes. Another few thousand are in pretrial detention, and the majority are being held without trial, either under administrative detention or the unlawful combatants law. This process completely lacks transparency or due process. And what's most worrying is that the Israeli government is not allowing neutral humanitarian actors like the International Committee of the Red Cross to visit to ensure that conditions are humane. And based on the fact that some people who were released directly to the hospital, they are not humane, and that needs to end.
Next one comes from immigrant rights and labor icon Dolores Huerta, now 95 years old. She is continuing her lifelong activism as immigration raids intensify across the U.S. Stay tuned.
Yes, we had a really great rally. We had a lot of farm workers that were there, and of course, people lined the streets with their signs, and it was just amazing. And as you know, here in California, we were some of the first people hit by the Border Patrol and ICE, and they arrested 90 people, and of those 90 people, only one person out of the 90 had any kind of a criminal record, which could be a traffic ticket, some kind of misdemeanor. And we just have to say to everyone, this is not about going after immigrants. This is about going after people of color. This is ethnic cleansing. This is exactly what is happening now in the United States of America. And God knows that we have to put a stop to it. We have never seen such horrific attacks on our people. Yes, not only farm workers, but as we know, our hospitality workers that work in our hotels, people who are laborers that work on construction sites. I mean, absolutely no one is safe. If you happen to be just anybody on the street that happens to be a person that looks Latino or Asian or Black, you are subjected to the kidnapping and all of these tortures. And as we know, people have already been killed. You know, this is the kind of horrific terrorism that the Latino and the people of color community are now living. And God knows that it has to stop. It has to stop. And so it's so important here in California. We're working on Proposition 50, which will be voted on November the 4th, and so that we can change the Congress. Because we know our Congress is the one that has allocated the funding, the millions of dollars that they're giving to ICE and for the detention centers. This is all coming from our own government, not only the president, but the Congress right now, the current Congress, which is controlled by Republicans, is putting all of these horrible maneuvers in place right now to terrorize our community. And God knows it's got to be stopped. We know we have elections in 2026. And so we are now preparing the ground so that we can get more Democrats, more progressive people in the Congress so that we could stop the madness that is happening to our community.
Last from Democracy Now, we speak with Amira Haz, Haaretz correspondent for the occupied Palestinian territories. Haaretz is the daughter of Holocaust survivors and is the only Israeli Jewish journalist to have spent 30 years living in and reporting from Gaza and the West Bank.
The ceasefire is at least relieves people of this fear, permanent fear of bombings and bombardments and shellings. At least they can go out and look for food and look for water. At least some of the prices of the food has lowered. Yeah, all these little things that are very big for Palestinians are there. But there is the fear all the time that the war will be renewed and for different pretexts. But it's important to say when Trump says that he will fight against Hamas, he will not fight against Hamas. If the war is restarting, it's against the people. It's not against Hamas, because Hamas is an organization and Hamas armed people. We see they remain. They are there. But the people are being attacked, the children and the women and the young men and old men are and women are being attacked. So people, from what I know, when I talk with my friends, and I cannot go there to Gaza, of course, like all journalists, independent journalists, what I know from them is that they live on this relief, between the relief from the end of bombardments and the fear and the grief and the terrible grief and the difficulties of living in the rubble, not finding their homes, as we heard before, the people. This is all what we know, all what I know and read and see. I know it's much more painful, much more difficult than any of us can imagine. Some of them were arrested. Some of them are long-time prisoners who were released. We know that some of the long-time, those who were detained, those who were sentenced for life, were released, but exiled to Egypt. Those who came to Ramallah, and I must admit that I haven't yet followed up on everything because there are so many details to follow on. Some of them, I think, were. Many of them were administrative detainees. I know one of them, for example, who has been for years in administrative detention, which means not trial. He was just the order to his detention was renewed every 6 months over and over again. And I think just because he is this charismatic social leader who could have had a positive influence on his society, and that's why he was detained. And others for different pretexts or unknown reasons were detained.
Lastly, from Black Agenda Radio, Hatem Abdaye, who is the chair of the U.S. Palestinian Community Network, speaks to us about the peace deal.
I think the number one thing is that we don't trust Trump and Israel as far as we can throw them. Netanyahu himself, the Israeli government and Zionist system has violated so many previous ceasefires and other agreements, including scores of UN Security Council resolutions and General Assembly resolutions. So we have to stay vigilant. Your listeners, the people in the Palestinian community of the United States, and all of our friends and allies, that we must be ready to continue our protests at the drop of a hat, you know, and also just continue to protest the, you know, the genocide and Zionist enablers in both parties. It's the reason why USPCN, even 2 days after the agreement, protested Tim Walz and Kamala Harris in back-to-back days in Chicago. We disrupted events of theirs because we're not going to let business as usual go, especially with the Zionist enablers and the genocide enablers. So we've been organizing every day for 2 years to stop this genocide. But, you know, so I think we have to be at least cautiously optimistic that this, the unified Palestinian resistance, you know, has entered into an agreement that will stop Israel's genocide, that will stop the war crimes, get the military out of Gaza, bring essential aid into the Gaza Strip, and ultimately lead us to, you know, self-determination and liberation. So this is stage one, phase one, stopping the genocide. But we still have a lot of work to do, of course, because, you know, our ultimate goals and the goals for of any conscious, peace-loving people around the world is to end the entirety of the occupation and the colonization, to end the actual system of Zionism itself, the way, you know, the international community supported the South Africans in defeating the system of apartheid itself. And so that's the only thing that will lead to justice and liberation for Palestine and peace in the entire region. USPCN believes that very, very strongly. So some of the details as well for your listeners. Israel and Trump, they want the unified Palestinian resistance to give up their weapons, to give up their arms, to no longer be allowed to defend themselves from this powerful military of Israel's that, of course, would not be powerful if it weren't for unequivocal military and political and diplomatic and financial support from U.S. imperialism. They want to demand that political parties in Palestine that have resistance wings, the political parties that have been resisting for the last 2 years and for decades in Palestine, that they should have absolutely no role in shaping the Strip's future governance. And that they want to demand that no Palestinian political forces whatsoever should lead the people in Gaza when they get to later phases of the agreement and start talking about governance. And so obviously those are all blatant violations of our right to self-determination and rejected by the vast, vast majority of Palestinians around the world. So, and of course, we can't ignore that, you know, the comprador Arab states, especially the ones that played such a major role in this agreement, they support Trump's plan, you know, and they all took their arrogant bows at Sharm el-Sheikh in Egypt.
So those were all of our pieces for this morning. You're still listening to Fantastic Friday on CKW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, Manitoba. We'll try to get Ibrahim. We've just been getting voicemail for the time being. But for the meantime, we do have Afua Cooper lined up. So stay tuned for that.
All right. I don't care if your nanny was black or you ate grits for breakfast every morning and you knew a girl in high school, a black girl, and she was nice. I don't care if your nanny was black because Michael Griffiths is dead, killed by white youths who got her free even though witnesses testified to their crime. So I don't care, you hear? I don't care because black woman Tawana Brawley was raped by four white cops who are still out on the street. And Donald Trump takes out a three-page ad in the New York Times calling for the death of six black youth accused of raping a white woman. So I don't care if your nanny was black and you ate grits for breakfast every morning and you knew a black girl in high school and she was nice. I don't care, you hear? I don't care, cause for too long we have held our pain in our very flesh. For too long our bleeding hearts in our chest. For too long our eyes have seen what they can no longer bear to see. Our anger will rise like a red flood and spread across this land. Tear down monuments built on our blood and cast away false idols, and we will tear down this wall, tear down these walls, tear down these walls of this Jericho, of this Toronto. So I don't care if your nanny was black and you ate grits for breakfast every morning and you knew a black girl in high school and she was
hey, nice. Man.
Yeah, man, how's it going there?
Hi, greetings, man. I did still, you know, we do it. We fight it on the early morning and get here to get the crowd open up.
Okay.
Get people wake up.
Right, right.
So I can't say sorry for waking you up. I'm glad I wake you up.
No, it was good. I don't have as much to say today as far as, well, what I was promising the people them last time. That got canceled, eh? So the bongo roots and the bongo bongo business, that's canceled as far as the modern coffee, what I was talking about last time. The people there are not able to do it that day. So we'll just have to see when the next time we can do that. And because the music thing is always have its level of importance there, eh? Because it kind of soothes some aspects of this, eh? Because the world crazy, eh?
Yeah.
The world blood clot crazy, eh? So, you know, so... Yeah, but anyway, that's canceled for now. I do like, your earlier, which you probably already played enough times, but the Gaia beats, it's crisp, eh? What you guys did, the Gaia up there, they open up your mind. Yeah,
Gaia,
crisp,
yeah.
Crisp, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I like that, eh? Your earlier for that, I'm just commenting on that, eh? Mm-hmm. Also like your piece of, I saw you also put a piece of the Nakai there, which is that Umpo on a marimba, and I think it's Coco on the First Nation drumming there, and it's actually my son there that's playing the drum set on that tune there, and Nono from South Africa singing and things like that. Catch a piece of that too there. I also like your we're just talking random people at the moment, eh? Because I don't have the musical. I like your piece of Sanford and Son where he's bringing his fish head sandwich to Esther there. Those two on that show, they always have a constant harassment, eh?
Fred.
For as far as the laughs go, eh? I know it have that have thing in it, eh? But no, those are good little clips there. That's all I was pretty much saying for this one, eh?
Nice little clips. We always have to change up things so people could appreciate, because we have a wide range of people, eh? And there are some people who enjoy them old jokes.
I was laughing at them.
And you see, I start with Dave Chappelle. Dave Chappelle is a modern joker. Who does go back in the old times. Yeah, very powerful man.
I just like how Samford, he delivered thing in just his kind of way, eh?
Yes.
He said like that Samford.
And his son, they're like a straight man.
Lamont. Apologetic and stuff.
Apologize for that.
Nice. Yeah, we're going to have to call ourselves Dummy and Dummy, or